Welcome to the Mug Meetings Summaries Podcast. I'm Adam Thompson. Our November meeting started with the usual roundtable discussion. Topics covered included teleconferencing, asterisk distributions, FreeBSD and VirtualBox, VMware file system management, and x86 emulation in Java.
Gilbert, do you take suggestions about the homepage from the members? Like, one of the hardest things I've done in the last 3 years is both times I wanted to get an application. Finding the application on that website is a pain. Mm-hmm. If on the main page, there's just, like, the people that are going there that are new to the organization that are looking for a membership form, and they're not familiar with it, there should be a reference on the main page for the membership form.
Okay.
Both times that I've had to look for it, I've spent 10, 15 minutes
like this?
Looking for it.
Membership and
information.
Right on the homepage, membership and information contacts.
Well, although, if you click that, you have to know that.
Yeah, you have to scroll down and.
You have to click
actually. Point taken. We'll make it a little more obvious.
Okay, thank you.
It's actually the link that says Acrobat PDF.
Yeah, I know.
Mm-hmm. Well, I guess you would now, yes.
That's a little obscure.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, PDF.
It's the built-in intelligence test for membership.
I failed. No wonder I was not a member.
And I think that's it for tonight. Starting the round table already. Okay, cool.
Michael was going to moderate that.
So. Yeah. Okay, jumping into round table.
Oh, I see.
The last little bit that we looked at there, the membership form, I would vote that by 2012 that we make it the open document for all. By then, they should have worked out how to make the Mayan calendar be open document. And then there will be a number.
I think John is actually volunteering what he says.
Sounds like. And don't forget the form fillable PDF, too, and wind it there.
Actually, I didn't want to announce that yet because we're not quite there yet, but we are working. Thanks to Alan Pollard's work for getting it set up. And we've got a couple people on the board who are going to be doing some tweaks just to get it production ready. And we are going to have a membership form that looks a little different than the previous one and has a few little different fields. And we will also be supporting electronic delivery of the newsletter as opposed to snail mail delivery for those that want that. But we're not quite there yet.
any day now.
Soon, but not quite.
Okay.
It's a good thing that the hard drive crashed, did it, or something? What's happened when the mug server went down or something? Oh, no, time or something. Never did, that's right.
We will simply say that we blame certain elements inside the University of Manitoba, not including Gilbert or Michael, or Montana for that matter, elements that are not represented here in any way whatsoever, and that we think the problem has been resolved in a more or less permanent fashion now.
Yeah.
And we'll
let's just call it a networking glitch.
Sure.
Yeah. I'll give a report from the Brandon group who we're getting most of them to sign up so we can call it the Brandon chat. Had an interesting interim meeting. Normally we have our Brandon meeting a week after where I'll come and pair whatever was going on here and it makes me look and sound pretty good. Depending on how well I do here. So, and most often it's great. The content is available. We just pull it down and it shows up on our projector too. So if you guys decided to have a casual get together on Saturday and beer was mentioned, but only one person, the host, was bothering with that. Everyone else is really nose into rebuilding a web server that part of this could finally fail. And, well, here's an opportunity to change. We've been a free BSD host before, but now we're thinking of Linux and this and that. And it was an awesome night. I couldn't make it, but I was going to be on the other end of the phone. So the phone call comes, and I'm thinking they're going to ask for a power supply or something. It turns out turns out they said, phone a certain number, and we had a conference call with a very interesting conference call with an alumnus of Brandon University Computer Science Program. His name's Toby Weingartner, who's quite active with OpenBSD, dating back to his early 90s, I think. And very early days there, he was reading up on OpenBSD and decided to submit a patch, and he was welcomed for the quality of the patch and just being the right kind of guy. He went on to other things, ended up being Calgary Edmonton, and ends up under the wing of whatever appendage of Mr. Dewey. And they get along, and Eric was there in the room with the conference call with a speakerphone there, I think. And it went so well, really. I'm just on a phone listening to really good exchanges, and Toby's always ready to talk and stuff. And I highly recommend that we get his phone number, get it to you folks. And it might be a Skype thing where his face is on a second screen, and he might have some content going. And a very interesting fellow. Some practicing professionals out of Brandon talking shop about what they're using for platforms and systems and things. And a phone system got hacked, and I said, well, is that Fujitsu or Siemens? They said, no, it's IP phone systems. That was interesting. And there's much more to tell about. Eric, any highlights you want to just mention?
Actually, what the voice conference system we used was actually belonged to the Brandon Health Authority. So, they have a conferencing system you can just. One of the couple of the members work at the health authority and arranged for it to be conferenced. And it was actually worked kind of nicely, except for the lousy speakerphone we had. But
I could hear you guys just fine.
Yeah, you could hear us. We couldn't hear you.
Oh. Well, you know, if we wanted to, we probably had enough connections here to get up a some kind of a wave service available. <conference. laughs>
You think?
Is the VoIP separate group still kicking around?
Yeah, I had a meeting last week at the Olympic facility right there. Mm-hmm. Bill drives them. Cool. Actually had a guy in from North Carolina visiting there. Right? He was in talking about computing and border, session border control. Mm-hmm.
What's the new name for Asterisk?
Asterisk.
Sorry, I thought they changed the name of the distro.
No.
Okay. Asterisk isn't
a distro. You're probably thinking of free PBX or PBX in a flash or something.
Yeah.
Or Asterisk at Home, which is now Asterisk Now.
Xbox. Or Xbox
is what I was trying to remember. Yeah. That's it. Yeah. Okay, there we go. Well, meanwhile, it doesn't have to be a conference call, a Skype thing. It can just be somebody coming in here. Steve, this type of phone, this is a phone type thing. One way or the other, somebody can be way at the other end of something. It might be a Skype connection or not. I just thought the quality was really well worth hanging on the phone. But my hand and my head was tilt, was sore after it. But having human ear is great. But if we want to talk to somebody like Toby, he did not have to come and have very interesting content.
Better to ask than you don't.
What's his name? The file system guy? Riser.
He's not going anywhere for a while.
Speaking of file systems, Toby's not working on file systems anymore, but there was interesting work there. Mm.
To continue on with John's mentioning about BSD, I have a friend from a number of years ago, way back when I was working for AT&T. The fellow initially started out as a free BSD guy. He loves free BSD. He swears by it. He says the only thing that he couldn't do is he couldn't run any of his Windows applications on it. However, today I found out that it's possible to, through ports, install a copy of VirtualBox. So, I mean, now he's got no excuse not to run FreeBSD anymore.
You can actually run Wine on FreeBSD now, too.
That's pretty good.
Yeah, because he didn't know about that either. So.
besides VirtualBox, QEMU has been ported to FreeBSD since it started. That's full virtualization. So, but VirtualBox is, it's got a kernel module, right? For FreeBSD.
I'm not too sure. Well, it gets compiled anyways.
Yeah.
Okay, I got a question.
Yeah, Adam.
Does anybody know of any tools available under Linux to deal with VMFS file systems? VMware. Okay.
I suspect there's a fuse or something like that available for it somewhere.
I haven't run into any, but...
Okay. You mean outside of the console operating system?
Yeah. So I've got ESXi running on a server. I need to, well, what I actually need to do is grow the file system.
Which ESXi will let
you do. I have found a way to do it, which isn't quite the same thing, but yeah. So I figure, well, maybe if I can pull the files off somehow, you know, I can boot off a live CD or something.
Isn't there a utility to convert it from a VMware image to something else? Like,
yeah, but I'm talking about the underlying file system that the images are stored on. When you're running ESXi, it uses it uses its own file system.
I see. Okay.
But it's still running inside the Linux kernel, so somebody somewhere wrote a file system driver for the thing.
Yeah.
So, I don't know.
I thought VMware had the ability to use something as a base, like use a hard drive as a base, and then go off of that. So if you want to just scale it up, you could just do that as a temporary build. Like use the one that you have as a base, and then add another hard drive and say that this is actually the hard drive you're working from, but that hard drive is backed from the last one.
I'm not expanding the size of the hard drive inside a virtual machine guest.
Yeah.
I need to expand the file system on the VM host.
Yeah.
Like VMware still thinks I have a 142 gig file system, but it's RAID, so I just swapped out for two 600 gig drives. Now I need to tell the file system that your device just got five times bigger. That's the problem I'm looking
at. Can you move
the
machines resize, off and then just make new file system and move them back?
If I had another machine configured in a cluster, yes, I could. But
no,
I don't.
The same machine would just add another, a different vault.
Oh, I do. I've actually got a network attached storage.
And you can't migrate the machines somehow?
I have.
Yeah.
So the local disks are empty. Except VMware, apparently, even ESXi, despite claims to the contrary, puts an etc directory, a var directory, a log directory, etc., on the internal disks.
You want to move your host, not your machine. You want to move the host to a new set of disks.
Mm. Okay. More or less, yeah, without having to reinstall and reconfigure the entire host from scratch. Okay.
You're in ESXi, right?
Yeah. Well, ESX is gone after 4.1 anyway, so it's any techniques that rely on ESX will shortly become useless.
So it's free ESXi?
Yeah, well, free ESXi is the same product as the base level, the entry levels kit.
Can't you, like, use the... Say you want to do a trial of the higher level version and
well,
use some of those features and then let them expire and go back to using the free...
But that's the thing, is the only way I have to do it is to reinstall ESXi. Like, just blow away the RAID partition, reinstall ESXi. All my VMs are intact.
Yeah.
But then I have to reconfigure host networking, which is non-trivial on that box, etc.
I just thought there was some way you could tell it without reinstalling that instead of using ESXi free version, that you're using enterprise version or something. And
yes, there is a way to do that.
All
and
these features.
That would work if I hadn't done that about 6 months ago.
Nice.
Otherwise, excellent idea. Yeah. Oh. Okay.
Okay, you're being.
I found a really cool thing the other day. A full virtualization in Java. So, Java x86 full emulation. And because it runs in Java, it's actually available as a servlet and an applet on a website. You can browse to a website, as long as you have Java and the Java plugin, you run a full emulation. It uses Box as the BIOS and the boot up, and it emulates a network adapter, a hard disk, a CD-ROM drive, and a floppy drive. And you can actually...
Any video?
Yeah, and video, obviously. And keep, and human interface. Like, it's got basic PS2 and keyboard mouse. It runs 20% of what your normal thing would be because of the overhead.
Yeah.
So if you have like 1 gigahertz machine, it's the same as running a 200 megahertz machine.
That seems like a good idea.
But,
but it's cool.
It's cool. Cool.
But cool. So it's like you could run your old version of Pong or something on it?
If you go to the website, it actually has one of the applications is to run free DOS and play the original Doom. And it does run because it's under DOS. And it's in your browser and the whole bit. And it's fully emulated.
Oh, talk about just
send,
because
send
you
the
can.
Link to that to the roundtable mailing list.
Doesn't mean you should.
That's pretty cool. There might be some interesting uses of that. You never know.
Yeah,
I'm sure
actually.
There are.
Like talking about clouds and stuff, because just go to website.com.
Hey, if Apple ever gets over their intransigence about JVM on an iPad, the processor in the iPad has a native Java bytecode execution mode. So, yeah, the A4 can execute JVM instructions directly.
Hmm.
Wow. Apple just turns it off.
So really, if you jailbreak it, you can do it.
So, you know, then you could only then you could be running with only like a 50% performance.
Yeah, just what you need. Overhead.
I haven't written code for years, but I'm inspired now. I'd like to rewrite the floppy section there. One line. Sector not found.
Be very quiet tonight.
Excellent. Let's move on to the next section.
Well, that's interesting.
That's because it's plugged into Gilbert's machine.
Oh, well, yeah, well. Impressions of Ubuntu. Anybody got any
impressions? I was looking at a big funny distro this week. There's a Hannah Montana distro.
Yeah, we may want to consider that as more complaints.
Well, I can say that I've used 10.04 and 9.04 extensively, and 10.10 is probably the most pain in the ass version so far.
Really?
No.
Tell us.
Yeah. Well, because compare and contrast with Red Hat. Red Hat is all about continuity. Every time they change something, they make a big deal of it in the documentation. They offer it as a technology preview, and it basically takes till the next major release before it's available by default. And you get lots of warning, and the documentation on how to manage that change is usually fairly extensive. This also means that they move at a pretty glacial pace. Ubuntu is at the other end of the extreme, where every time they update, like every bump of the version number, seems to replace some fundamental subsystem with something brand new that nobody's ever heard of. So 10.10 was yet another, like, where did it go? 10.10, what was I trying to do? I was trying to do a PXE install. I had to go back to and find the version 9 PXE boot files because they're not on the 10.10 disk anymore. So, yeah, that was a pain.
Just to add on to what you're saying, I marked for the worth recently commented how they're... wants to move Ubuntu away from Xorg.
Yeah.
To what?
I forget the
name. Unity?
No, not Unity. No.
It starts with an E.
E or a W?
W, yeah.
Pretty bad, no one knows what it's.
Are you planning on sneaking onto a plane?
Yeah, what difference did you notice?
Didn't notice any difference till he opened his mouth.
I'll be by next time.
Noticed a new attendee. But he has a badge, so... Managed to finagle his way past security.
That's it for this podcast. Thanks for listening. For more MUG meeting summaries or for more information about the Manitoba Unix User Group, check out our website at www.mug.mb.ca.